chapter 8. I felt like because you came tonight, God wanted to do something special for you. Is that all right? I mean, I can stop right now. Are you sure that's okay? So I want you to take Matthew chapter 8, and we're going to read verses 1 through 17. So let's read the word of the Lord together. When he came down from the mountainside, large crowds followed him. A man with leprosy came and knelt before him and said, "Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean." Jesus reached out his hand and touched the man. "I am willing," he said, "be clean." Immediately he was cured of his leprosy. Then Jesus said to him, "See that you don't tell anyone, but go, show yourself to the priest and offer the gift Moses commanded as a testimony to them." And when Jesus had entered Capernaum, a centurion came to him asking for help. "Lord," he said, "my servant lies at home paralyzed and in terrible suffering." Jesus said to him, I will go and heal him." The centurion replied, "Lord, I do not deserve to have you come under my roof, but just say the word and my servant will be healed. For I myself am a man under authority with soldiers under me. I tell this one, go, and he goes, and that one, come, and he comes. And I say to my servant, do this, and he does it." When Jesus heard this, he was astonished and said to those following him, "I tell you the truth, I have not found anyone in Israel with such great faith. I say to you that many will come from the east and the west and will take their place at the feast with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven. But the subjects of the kingdom will be thrown outside into the darkness where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth." Then Jesus said to the centurion, "Go." Everybody say, "Go."
Go.
"It will be done just as you believed it would." And his servant was healed at that very hour. And when Jesus came into Peter's house, he saw Peter's mother-in-law lying in bed with a fever. He touched her hand and the fever left her, and she got up and began to wait on him. And when evening came, many who were demon-possessed were brought to him, and he drove out the spirits with a word and healed all the sick. This was to fulfill what was spoken through the prophet Isaiah. "He took our infirmities and carried our diseases." Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word. I thank you for those who are hungry for your word, hungry for your presence, that they would come on a Sunday night to this house. So, Lord, I'm asking that you would come in power. Come on, people. Let's just pray in the Holy Ghost. Spirit of the living God, come in power, come in might, intervene tonight. I pray you'll touch people profoundly, that the very desires of their heart will be met. Lord, they have come to honor you on a Sunday night. They've come hungry for you. Touch them. And Lord, I pray for an anointing to come on them. Give them ears to hear, a heart to respond, eyes to see. I pray for an anointing on me, Lord, that I might flow in your power. And Lord, you will receive all the praise for what happens tonight. And we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. I want you to imagine with me a dark planet. And a stream of light crashes through the atmosphere and touches that dark planet. Except where it touches, it begins to spread. And light begins to spread around that planet. Now, this is a mental picture of, I believe, what Matthew writes about in the Gospel of Matthew. Because he talks about a kingdom called the kingdom of God or the kingdom of heaven. And literally, that kingdom has broken into a darkened world. The kingdom has come in the person of the King, Jesus, the Messiah. And wherever he is, that's where the kingdom is. And whoever comes under his rule has become a part of the kingdom of God. And that is why tonight, when an invitation was given, people responded. In that response, they literally came out of the darkness into the light because they submitted their hearts, their will, to the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. They submitted to his rule. And Matthew has just organized his gospel in a special way to emphasize the kingdom of God at work in the world through Jesus. And you'll notice something very interesting, that Matthew puts all the teachings of Jesus together. He does it in really five different places in the book of Matthew. Symbolic of the first five books of the Bible. And you'll notice something about what Matthew does. you'll notice that he divides the teachings of Jesus. Matthew 5, 6, and 7 is the Sermon on the Mount, which is the bylaws and constitution of the kingdom of God. And then in chapters 8 and 9, he deals with the miracles that Jesus does. We just read some of them today. And you go, well, what's that all about? Well, what he's doing is that he is seeing how God works throughout the entire Old Testament. It's a fascinating picture. You see, God himself reveals who he is through two mechanisms. One, he speaks, and then he acts. Everybody says, he speaks, and he acts, and then he speaks again. That's throughout the entire Bible. You'll notice, for example, God speaks to Moses at the burning bush. Then Moses goes to Egypt. God acts with great power and delivers the children of Israel out of Egypt. And he brings them to Sinai, and there he speaks again and reveals his character to them in the Ten Commandments. And that's exactly how the book of Matthew is put together. And you say, well, Pastor, why is it put together like that? Well, I'll tell you why. It's because, you see, the kingdom of God is more than you just getting knowledge. Well, let me run that through again. I've done a lot of academic study. I have two master's degrees and a doctorate. I've spent a lot of my life in organized academia. And I have come to this conclusion. There's a lot of stupid people in organized academia. And I'm going to tell you why. It's because they've mistaken something. They think that all there is knowledge. You can get a lot of knowledge, but if you're not acting on what you know, you don't know it. So you'll notice that the Gospel of Matthew is organized in this way. And when we come now to this text, we come to four tremendous breakthroughs in the lives of people. That light that has come into the darkened world through the person of Jesus Christ is now beginning to affect everything in that world. And it touches in these four experiences we read about. The first one you'll notice is a man with leprosy. You'll notice that he kneels before Jesus. And he recognized that Jesus had power. Everybody say power. He said, if you're willing, you can make me whole. He had no question about the power of Jesus to heal him. The question was, would Jesus heal him? And Jesus responds by saying, I am willing. And when he said those words, he was revealing the very character of God, because he was God in the flesh. And I want everyone to say this with me. God is good. He wants to heal us. He wants to touch us. He wants to intervene on my behalf. How many would say amen to that? And the very fact that Jesus said, I will be healed. Not only did he speak those words, if you'll notice real closely in Matthew 8, you'll notice something else. It says, Jesus reached out his hand and touched him. Now stop here for a moment. Something very dramatic is happening at that moment. You may have missed it, because we believe in the laying on of hands, but this is a leper. A leper is unclean by biblical standards. So that if a leper touches you, you're unclean. Or if you touch a leper, you're unclean. What is so powerful here? Oh, I can't handle it. Jesus is the only one who can turn someone who's unclean to become clean. Somebody say amen. The power of Jesus is greater than the darkness. The power of Jesus is greater than your uncleanness. And he touches him. Oh, the compassion of Jesus. That one touch says more than anything of the compassion of our Lord. That man probably had not been touched by another human being from the moment he'd gotten leprosy. The greatest tragedy of leprosy was loneliness. They were alone. Everywhere they went, they had to cry out, unclean, unclean, don't come near. And the compassion of Jesus. He could have healed him without touching him, but he touched him. And he said, someone greater than your uncleanness is touching you. And we could stop right there and just go home. We could just stop right there. But Jesus tells the leper to go back, and you'll notice this, and it's very interesting. The leper's faith is seen by the very fact he came to Jesus. Humility is seen by the fact he knelt before Jesus. But you'll notice that Jesus is concerned not just of his healing, but he's concerned about his restoration to society. And you'll see this in the fact that he says, look, he says, show yourself to the priest and offer the gift Moses commanded as a testimony to them. You see, he wanted him to be restored to the whole society. When God touches us, and he touches us, yes, maybe in a physical way, but it's more than that. He wants complete restoration in our lives. Somebody say amen. And he wants us to be a testimony to the fact that God has worked in the world today. Well, you'll notice the second story is the story of a centurion. And his humility is seen that he comes to Jesus at all. I mean, he's a Roman centurion. This is a Jewish rabbi. And you have to understand, the Romans were the people in power. You don't go talking to a Jewish rabbi and ask him to go heal your servant. But more than that, you begin to see that this man, in spite of showing his weakness for asking help from Jesus, you'll notice that we see in this story that the power of the kingdom of God is for all. Turn to your neighbor and say, it's for all. The benefits of Christ's death and resurrection, his coming into the world, his releasing the power of the kingdom. It's not just for you, it's for all. It's for your neighbor, it's for your worker, it's for all. In fact, he says something quite outstanding here. He says that the Jewish people who he came as a Jew, he said there will come a time when there will be people that are non-Jewish that will be at the feast in heaven with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And those who were supposed to be there won't be there because they did not believe on him. What is so amazing to me is that here, the man with the power, the Roman soldier who had the power to kill, the power to rule because of human power, saw a greater power in Jesus, who could just simply speak a word and life would flow. His servant would be healed. Wow. And Jesus then says something that is absolutely amazing. He is amazed at this man's faith. And he says to this man, he had great faith. Everybody say great faith. Great faith. Now, Did you know there are only two times in Scripture when Jesus was amazed? He was amazed at the centurion's faith because he had great faith and the man was a Gentile, not a Jew. He had more faith than anybody else he'd met in his earthly ministry. The only other time he was amazed was at the unbelief of those in Nazareth. Now Jesus, I believe, looks at us and he's amazed. He's either amazed at your faith or he's amazed at your unbelief. How about let's have him be amazed at our faith? Somebody say amen. Jesus then commands this man to go. Now, this man could have said, wait a minute, Jesus, are you sure? Jesus didn't say anything to him but go. In other words, you take action, you go. And by the fact that Jesus said that, the man obeys, he believed it. And exactly as he believed it, it happened. It will be done just as you believed it would. I wonder if Jesus had said that to you, what would have been your response? Well, now, Jesus, please, 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 show me a sign. I think we all need signs. I'm not opposed to that. But there's times when we just have to trust the Lord and say, Lord's going to do something. And as you notice, the servant was healed at that very moment. You know, I wonder at times how much we honestly believe. When I talk about faith, I struggle because I want to be a man of great faith. I want Jesus to be amazed. And at times I'm afraid he may be amazed at my unbelief rather than my belief. He's done so much for all of us. We need to honestly believe him. That brings me then to the third story, which is Peter's mother-in-law. Now, that's fascinating to me because she was very sick. She was lying in bed with a fever. He just touched her hand. The fever left her. And the result of the healing was that she immediately began to serve. Now, that's fascinating to me because it tells me the progression of what God wants to do in our lives. He touches us for a purpose. You know, I'm excited that tonight there's going to be many people healed. I have no doubt about it because I felt so strongly to preach this message tonight for you because you made it out tonight. So people are going to get healed tonight. But when he touches you and you testify of that healing, please understand that the greatest testimony is you serving the Lord. Well, I'm glad you're so excited. It's doing something for him. What's amazing to me is this story is told in the other Gospels. And in the Gospel of Luke, there's something really unique said about this story. It's found in Luke 4:39. It says, so he bent over her and he rebuked the fever and it left her and she got up and began to wait on them. That actual word rebuke is a word that's used when you're dealing with demons. And you see it even when he rebukes the wind. You know, some people call acts of God, storms are acts of God. Now, let's get real here. That wasn't an act of God, the storm that came when Jesus was lying in the boat asleep. That was an act of the devil. Jesus was on his way to Gennesaret where he was going to confront the demonized man who had legion in him, many, many demons. And that demon... nized man and the demons in him were very afraid of Jesus. Satan's kingdom was going to be crashed for a moment. So Satan attempted to try to drown Jesus on that boat. And Jesus rebuked the wind. There's sometimes where sickness is a demonic thing and you rebuke it in the name of the Lord. Somebody say amen. And then finally, the last picture we see is that many demon-possessed people were delivered by a word of command, and so all who came to him that were sick were healed. Everyone who came to him at the end of this text was freed and healed. Jesus healed, it said, all. Everybody say all. All. All the sick. You say, Pastor, why doesn't that happen today? I have no clue. Other than I understand something about faith. Sometimes healings come because the faith of the person who is ministering healing is such where the Spirit of God has worked through them in such power that they believe for everyone to be healed. That's the case of Jesus. He had the Spirit without measure. Sometimes it's the faith in the person that brings forth the healing. And sometimes it's the faith in the congregation. You'll notice the four who were brought a lame man to Jesus and opened Peter's roof and lowered the man. Well, interesting, Jesus saw their faith and healed the man. So I've been in meetings where it was like stone cold. The congregation was just sitting there like bump on the log and looking at you and say, all right, pastor, jump, pastor, run. You know, like that little story, Jane and Joe, whatever the guy, girl and guy would run down the hill. You know, the little reader that we had when we were kids. And sometimes people just are waiting for the preacher to do everything when Jesus is waiting on the congregation. Smile at me, I'm preaching good. You know that. You can create an atmosphere of faith. And sometimes I've laid hands on people and I felt like I was laying hands on a cold rock. There was no faith there. And sometimes I've come into a meeting where God supernaturally brings faith into me and just things explode. I'll never forget. A good friend of mine is Benny Hinn. We traveled at times together, and he's preached at my church so many times, and he's got a wonderful healing ministry. And I always think it's kind of ironic, because every time he comes, I see people I haven't seen in church for a long time. Now, you know, they can get healed every Sunday, but they choose to only come when somebody shows up. Now, if I'd announced it and made it worldwide, healing service tonight at Calvary, we'd probably had about 10 times the amount of people here tonight. But that didn't happen because I didn't do that. And the reason I didn't do that is because God didn't tell me to do that. He said, minister to the folks who come. So you get whatever God's going to give. Somebody say hallelujah. Hallelujah. But it's funny to me, they could get healed every Sunday. But they only show up because the man of God who has the gift of healing is there. The problem is, oftentimes the healing doesn't come from that man, it comes from their faith and their willingness. You see, what Jesus couldn't do at Nazareth, he couldn't do because they didn't believe in him. They thought he was just the carpenter's son. If you don't believe that your pastor can operate in the gift of healing, you'll never get healed. If you just think I'm just some guy from Maui, no big deal, well, you ain't gonna get nothing. I'm telling you, but if you're believing that God sent you his servant for tonight, for you to be touched by God, you'll get whatever you're believing for. That makes sense? You say, well, Pastor, how is it that not everybody's healed? Well, sometimes it's because the preacher doesn't have any faith. Sometimes it's the person being prayed for doesn't have some faith. Sometimes it's the congregation that limits what God can do. I don't have all the answers. I've known at times where the power of God is hit. I'll never forget, I'd invited Benny to come to the church, and he was going to preach at my church on Maui and my church in Oahu and my church on Kauai. And about 4 days before the event, he cancels. And he's done that a number of times with me, and I love him anyways. It's no big deal. But I had a problem. I'd rented the Civic Center on Kauai. So I preached on Maui and Oahu. I think my son preached, or they just canceled service. I don't remember what it was. I think it was on a Friday night or something. But I was stuck with that service on Kauai because we'd already booked the Civic Center and advertised. So the healing evangelist came. It was me. And I remember saying, oh, God, why do you put me in these positions? Well, that night I realized why. Because the power of God hit that place. People began to get healed all over that civic center. And I began to flow in the gifts of healing in dramatic ways. And I thought, Jesus, you can use anybody. And I began to realize how much God wants to heal his people. And he's looking simply for vessels by which he flows through. He said, Pastor, well, how can I be used by God in this marvelous way of healing? Well, let me suggest to you some things that may help you and help us tonight. Because in a moment, we're going to pray for people. First off, I need you to understand that all of us need healing in some way. We live in a fallen world. We all have I'm growing older now. In fact, you know how I ended up preaching this message for the first time? I was sick as a dog. I had, what is that? You know, when you get that rash, what is that? Shingles. I didn't know I had it. It was earache and all this kind of stuff. And I was just plain sick. And two brothers from my church happened to be visiting my house. They were picking up my tractor to take it somewhere to use it on a particular project they had. I'd loaned it to them. This was a Saturday, and I was preparing my message for Sunday, and I'm sick as a dog. I walk out there. I say, hey, guys, come here. Come lay hands on me and pray. I'm sick. I need a miracle. Well, they obeyed their pastor, and they came, slapped me upside the head, and prayed for me. After they left, I thought, you know, I'm going to preach on healing. If the devil's going to make me sick, I'm going to see some folks healed. And that's how this message came. And what I began to realize is that God wants all of his family to understand we are members of the kingdom of God. And the power of the kingdom will flow through us if we but believe. We need to humble ourselves and seek help. Yes, we need to claim the promises of God. I'm not opposed to that. But we need to seek the Lord for healing and be prayed for. Every service on Sunday, every service, we have a time in our church service for people to come forward to be healed. And we lay hands on everyone that comes. The reason we do that is because I'm convinced that the power of the kingdom is available when we gather together like this. And so that happens every service. And people are healed all the time. All the time. Now the interesting thing about it is that if we don't believe God can use us, we limit what God can do. Are you still with me? And we need to humble ourselves and say, Lord, I need your healing touch. It would be tragic when a person's sitting in my congregation on Sunday and we give an opportunity for people to be healed and they're sick, but they don't get up and come. Now, what they've done is they said, well, I don't want anybody to know. Hello. You don't have any problem with a doctor knowing you're sick. You go to the hospital when you're sick. Why don't you go into a healing line? Who knows? Maybe the Lord will touch you. Recognize healing is a gift of God's mercy. So oftentimes we get into this pride attitude about healing. Well, I deserve to be healed. Or you better heal me, Lord, or I ain't going to believe in you. Oh, give me a break. Who in the world are you? That's not the attitude Paul had. Look at the attitude Paul had in Philippians 2, 25 through 27. Epaphroditus, as you know, was sent to minister to Paul while Paul was in prison. He ends up getting extremely sick to the point of death. And Paul writes back, but God had mercy on him, and not on him only, but also on me to spare me sorrow upon sorrow. When God healed Epaphroditus, it was an act of God's mercy on Paul and on Epaphroditus. Never forget that. Tonight, when God heals you, don't go bragging about how much faith you had. Rejoice in the wonder that God would have mercy on you and on me. Amen. Also, you need to understand is that we need to be open to let God use whatever means He wants to use to heal us. It may be that God wants to use the wisdom that He gave to the medical profession as a means of healing you. It could be that God has a purpose for you to be there to witness to somebody or to minister to somebody. Be open to letting God heal you through even your brothers and sisters that you call upon to pray for you, or your pastors, or just praying for yourself. I'll never forget, I was having a condition and I was reading one day a book. And the person who was writing the book, in fact, it was Derek Prince, and I've done a lot of work in the realm of the demonic. So, and Derek, he's gone home to be with the Lord, but he wrote a number of books. And I did my doctoral thesis on demons and how they affect people. And so I was just kind of reading one of his books, and he mentioned about a problem that he had, that he had a lung problem that every time he would have, he would get sick, it would linger for month after month. Whereas other people, you know, would get a cough and it would be gone in about a month or so. His would linger for months. And he said one day, he said, I realized, wait a minute, the Holy Spirit gave me a word that's a demon that's affecting. And so in the book, I'm reading this thing. He says, I just commanded that thing to loose its hold off me. And he said, from that point on, I never had that problem again. Well, I'm reading that thing and I said, well, wait a minute, I got that problem. And, you know, it shocked me because, you know, I wasn't reading the whole book. I just happened to open it and there came to that passage. And I thought, Jesus, maybe it's some demon that's afflicted me. And so I said, in the name of Jesus, you foul thing, take your hands off my lungs. Did you know from that day to this, everything has shifted? It doesn't mean that I don't get sick on occasion like everybody else does, but it doesn't linger for month after month after month. Exactly the same thing. Now, I didn't have any awareness of that. I didn't know what that was all about. But how many know God has an answer for your situation? Oh, somebody say hallelujah. Hallelujah. So be open to let the Lord use whatever means He wants to use to bring healing. Because healing is a part of the kingdom of God. Somebody say amen. And then finally, you know, think about your faith level. Where is it at? Get into the Word. Read the Word. Get around faith-filled people. This is a church full of faith. Listen, your pastor is a man of faith. He's been a man of faith his entire ministry. Obey the Lord in what He tells you to do. And always remember, God is good. He's good. Don't let the rationalistic prejudices of our world rob you of your healing. You might ask the question. I had a person that I knew who was a pastor nearby where I used to pastor years ago when I lived in Wilmington, California. And he came and he shared about, he went to India. I believe it was in India where he had these mass meetings. Now, he'd never been used in the miracle ministry, even at his church. But when he went to India and he had these mass meetings, he had miracles. And he said the most outstanding miracle he ever had was a blind man came to him for healing. There was only one problem. He had no eyeballs. There were just empty sockets. Well, he had never done this in his life. But he sticks his thumbs into those two sockets. And he said, in Jesus' name, eyes be open. And all of a sudden, he felt something at the bottom of his thumbs. And he removed his thumb, and there were two eyes looking at him. Freaked him out. You say, why can that happen in India, but it doesn't happen here? I'll tell you why. They don't have all the weird prejudices of rationalistic thought that would rob them of their miracles. Are you hearing me? Sometimes we forget how miracles happen. Did you know Jesus never prayed for anybody? He commanded. Touch the leper, be clean. Touch the deaf person, ears be open. Eyes, be open. He said, no, wait. How's this working? Well, he told us when he said, have faith in God. He said, you can speak to mountains and say, be thou removed and be cast in the sea. And if you don't doubt in your heart, you'll have what you say. Well, mountains can't hear. Or can they? Well, God spoke them into existence. And what you have to understand about the kingdom of God, your speech is powerful because you're entering into the framework of the supernatural where God speaks and things happen. So that if you have a problem, you speak to it. Back, behold. Ears, behold. Heart, be healed. I was invited a number of years ago. It was a great honor for me to preach to all the Assemblies of God pastors for the entire nation of New Zealand. And I had the honor of doing it twice. I was the first person they ever invited back to do their general council. Well, I was preaching on healing. And I'll never forget it. I was giving an illustration. I said, now, when Jesus would heal somebody with a knee problem, he would just simply say, knee, be healed. I said it just like that. All of a sudden, a guy, he was standing way over there filming me. He was the cameraman. He jumps up. He runs to the front of the church. And he says, when you said knee be healed, my knee got healed. He said, I wasn't going to come film today because I was in such pain. But when you spoke those words, I got healed. I just had to tell everybody. I said, you're ruining my message. Well, at that point, and the message was over, healing started to break out all over the building. And it was over. I mean, I stopped preaching. I said, well, I don't need to preach anymore. You got the point. Let's get on with it. Amen. Are you hearing me? God wants to heal you. And he wants to use you to bring healing to others. And when he does, don't go break your arm trying to pat yourself on the back of how great a man of God you are. Just humbly thank the Lord that he uses you. Are you ready to get healed? Stand to your feet. Stand to your feet. The kingdom of God has come. I want you to focus on the goodness of the Lord. You cannot see Jesus without seeing the goodness of God at work in the world. I want you to lift your hands with me and just begin to pray in the Holy Ghost. We're going to worship the Lord for a moment. I want you to lift your voice. Lead us in worship. Would you do that? We're going to believe God for great things to happen tonight. The Spirit of God is present. Hallelujah. Come on.
Because you're a good Father. It's who you are. It's who you are. It's who you are. And I'm loved by you. It's who I am. It's who I am. It's who I am. You're a good, good Father. It's who you are, it's who you are, it's who you are, and I'm loved by you. It's who I am, it's who I am. I am. You're a good, good Father. It's who you are. It's who you are. It's who you are. And I'm loved by you. It's who I am. It's who I am. It's who I am. You are perfect in all of your ways. You are perfect in all of your ways. You are perfect in all of your ways. To us, oh, you are perfect in all of your ways. You are perfect in all of your ways. You are perfect in all of your ways. And I'm loved by you. It's who I am. It's who I am. It's who I am.
Let me pray for you. You, husband and wife. We were standing there. The Lord spoke to me. You both have a real sensitivity. Not only to the Lord, but to people. You may not express it that way. You may be somewhat, conservative in the way you express things. But in your heart, there's a real sensitivity. And the Lord is going to use that to minister to people in such a way that's very, all I can say, it's casual. Seems like God's going to give you liberty to minister to people in a wonderful way. And you're going to start to pray for people and you're going to see them healed. Don't back away. He's made you both very sensitive to people in their need. I'm going to pray for you. God's going to do something for you now. Father, as I lay hands on my brother and sister, I'm very, very conscious that you have a subtle work for them to do. Something very unique. And Lord, you're going to use them in a wonderful way to bring healing and blessing and life. You've given them extreme sensitive hearts to human need. And so, Lord, I'm asking you to allow that sensitivity to be used in such a way that many come into the kingdom of God and experience your power. I thank you for it. Thank you for it. I want everyone who needs healing, just come to the front right now and stand here. Quickly come. Quickly come. You need healing, just come. Just line up. I'm going to lay my hands on you. The power of God's going to come on you. Just come. Whatever you need healing for, come, you come. If it's the whole congregation, it's fine. I got instructions from the Lord, so that's what I got to do. Now, listen to me a moment. Here's what I'm going to do. I'm just going to lay my hands on you. I'm not going to knock you over. Now, if the Holy Ghost knocks you over, that's fine. I'm going to lay my hands on you, and I'm going to simply say, in Jesus' name, be healed. I'm going to speak a word over you. You know, the power of God is coming on you right now as you're standing there. That's the power of God. And that which you've been beset by for some time, the Lord is removing. Shopati. Oh my. That's the power of God. Shopati te la ramati. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In the mighty name of Jesus. Be healed. Now, that's the power of God on you, honey. People, just pray in the Holy Ghost. Spirit of the Lord just has come. Oh, my. My, 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 my. Shobalarama, Papa. Holy Ghost. Touch her. Be healed in Jesus' name. Spirit of God has come and he's releasing his gifts of healing. That's the power of God on you, honey. Shabala Rama Pati. In Jesus' name, be healed. Shabala Rama Pati. Oh my. Be healed in Jesus' name. I put my hand right here. You're going to feel the power of God go down your back, into your legs. Be healed in Jesus' name now. All through your arms. Shabala Rama Pati. Down into your stomach area. Shabala Rama Pati. Be healed. In Jesus' name. In the name of Jesus, be healed. Oh my. I speak healing. Shabbati. Internal organs be healed. In Jesus' name, be healed. Spirit of the Lord, come. Shabalara, there's strength coming to your body. Shabalarama, in Jesus' name. Just continue to worship the Lord. The Spirit of the Lord is present. Shabalarama batiti. God is freeing you from things. Shabalara, things that have bothered you for some time. He's freeing you right now. Shabaiti. Motelarama batiti. That's the power of God on you, sir. God's freeing you. You're not going to be bound anymore. I'm laying my hands on you. Jesus, touch them. Be healed in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, be healed. Shabalara, people just pray in the Holy Ghost. Indalarama, that's the Spirit of the Lord is present. Be healed in Jesus' name. Be healed in Jesus' name. Shabalarama, batiti. Olarama, bakotiti. In the name of Jesus. Oh my. Spirit of the Lord has come. It's touching you in your need. Weakness go from her body now in the name of the Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Be healed in Jesus' name. I'm going to lay my hands on both of you. The power of God's coming on you. Shabbat. Oh, my. In the name of Jesus, I rebuke you foul, evil thing of infirmity. Be gone now in Jesus' name. Moment on. Be healed in Jesus' name. Whew. Power of God's on you, David. That's the power of God. He's restoring you, renewing you, refreshing your vision. He's doing much for you. Hallelujah. Suzanne, be healed in Jesus' name. What do you want Jesus to do for this young man? Put your hand on your chest. Leave your hand on his chest just like you have it. Shabbati. In Jesus' name. Be healed now. Heart be healed. Chest. Cough, I command you to go now in Jesus' name. And from this moment on, be healed. I rebuke every evil thing that would afflict them in Jesus' name. Infirmity be gone. Worship the Lord. Lead in worship.
Oh, I'm loved by you.
There's healing in the name of Jesus. There's healing in the name of Jesus. There's healing in the name of the Lord. Be healed in Jesus' name.
To you are.
Shabbat Rama.
To you.
Honey, do you have pain in your legs?
Loved by you.
Where's the pain?
It's who I am. It's who I am. It's who I am. You're perfect.
Right, I'm gonna lay my hands.
You are perfect.
In Jesus.
All of your ways.
Be healed now. Back be healed now. Vertigo be healed. Ears be healed. Now!
You are perfect in all of your ways.
You are perfect in all of your ways.